You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Isn't it good to be in church? So good to see so many old faces, so many new faces. I mean, as those who have been with us for a while. Not old faces. Goodness me. Is it old and new, not old and young? Old and new. It's all in the descriptive English. It's in the dictionary. How's everyone going today? Good. I'm really excited to share this message with you today. I really feel that God's placed a message on my heart for all of us collectively as a church, but as individuals as well. And today's message is called Seasons of Hope. But before I go into my message, I just want to remind us of some really important things. When I say really important things, who we are and what God's called us to as a church, amen? It's really important for us to be reminded of this. So first of all, our mission as a church, we exist to care for our community and connect every individual and their families to God, to see them loved, reached, included, and restored. Maybe it's a while since you've heard that. I just felt like we needed reminding again after the last 18 months, amen? Why are we here? What commission has God called us to? To go and see every single person who hasn't heard the good news of Jesus here, amen? Our heart, that all would have the opportunity for relationship with God and know God's grace to all. That everyone would have that opportunity, whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's in our schools, universities, clubs that you're involved in supporting throughout the week, that people would know that they have the opportunity to have a relationship with God, amen? I think it's really important for us to be reminded of that on a regular basis. Otherwise, we can just sort of, as humans, we kind of like predictability, right? Sometimes that can go against us as humans, where we just get into this groove and we put our head down and we're just like, jung, 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 jung. It's like that trudging mentality. No, let's be reminded of what we've been saved from and the good news that other people need to hear too. So, Seasons of Hope. I want to encourage you today. The Bible is full of examples of people coming into seasons of hope. And likewise, those seasons of hope are often preceded by seasons that are challenging or troubling. You don't get one without the other, it seems. So let me put it to you this morning that every season of challenge gives birth to a season of hope. Every season of disappointment gives birth to a season of hope. I want to encourage you with that because sometimes we can our focus can be taken by the challenge of the disappointment, but we forget to turn our heads back to the fact that God has a season of hope on the other side of it. Amen? So I want to start by reminding each and every single one of us the hope that each of us have. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For those of you who grew up in a youth ministry, you probably heard this at least four times a sermon when you're at youth group every week. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I say this because I know the plans I have for you. This message is from the Lord. I have good plans for you. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. That's the heart of God towards all people, not his people. All people, he wants everybody to come into the goodness and the plans that he has for them. Ultimately, be encouraged today that God revealed the hope of the world when he sent Jesus. The hope that he had for every single person was revealed through Jesus. And Paul puts it like this in the book of Romans in chapter 5. It says this, through our faith, Christ has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And we're now very happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. And we're also happy with the troubles we have. Say what? I wasn't ready for that. Why are we happy with the troubles? Because we know that these troubles make us more patient. Who needs more patience in their life? Just a little bit. And this patience is proof that we are strong. And this proof gives us hope. And this hope will never disappoint us. Jesus never disappoints us. We know this because God poured out His love to fill our hearts through the Holy Spirit He gave us. Verse 6, Christ died for us. We were unable to help ourselves. Praise God for that. We were living against God, but at just the right time, Christ died for us. Very few people will die to save the life of someone else, even if it's for a good person. Someone might be willing to die for an especially good person, but not Jesus. Died for all people. I want to encourage you this morning with some other people in the Bible who had challenges that led to seasons of hope. First person, Peter and his denials in Matthew 26. You think you got challenges? Peter denied Jesus 3 times after Jesus said that he would do it and he said that he wouldn't. He denied Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, 3 times, only then to be called Peter, the rock upon which Jesus would build his church. From denier to the first of many true followers of Jesus that step into hope and bring hope to others. Every season of trouble and challenge gives birth to a season of hope. Gideon, the underdog, Judges 6, being the least of his clan, only to be used and chosen by God to bring the hope and freedom of God to all of his people. Season of challenge, season of feeling like he's a nobody, only to be chosen by God to do something significant. The marriage feast in Matthew 22. People disappearing from your life. You've lost everybody who said they were coming to your party, but you're like, you know what? This season of challenge right now is not going to stop me from having a party. I'm going to go out and find some new friends and find some new people. And I'm going to invite them to my party and it's going to be amazing. And they're going to find hope because they're hanging out with me at my party. Parable of the lost coin, Luke 15. Losing something really important. Losing a coin that maybe you needed to be able to go and buy some food. But God's heart prevails in this parable. You find it, or I want to encourage you, finding something's good, but finding someone without hope, going out, it's like, this person, God's placed them on my heart. I want to encourage you, seeing reconciliation in the lives of people. Yes, it's great to have a couple of coins reconciled to your pocket, isn't it? Lovely, isn't it? You can pay for parking maybe, but what about people? That's the heart of the parable, amen. Going out and seeing someone restored into relationship with God. See, in the narrative of a lot of these stories and accounts in the Bible is that it looked like all hope was lost until God intervened. Until he intervened and triumphed into a season of hope. I want to encourage you in your life, troubles, challenges, disappointment, God wants to intervene with a season of hope. I want to ask you the question today, where do you need God to intervene with a season of hope? Maybe over the last 18 months, you've just kind of put your head down and you've just been trudging through this thing to try and get to the other side of it. Okay, that's enough now. Where do you need God to intervene in a season of hope in your life? No more trudging, no more head down, just 1 foot in front of the other. That's no way to live. God hasn't called you to live in that type of freedom. He's called you to live in full freedom. Amen. See, one of the things that is common amongst many of the examples that I just spoke about and the individuals is that they'd been preparing on their own. They'd been going about their own thing. And sometimes they got sidetracked by their troubles. Like Peter, literally, he was like hanging out by himself, sitting around a little fire. It's like, life is over as we know it. Oh, you're the guy who knows Jesus. Nah. Sidetracked by his own thoughts and his own feelings and where he felt that he was at the time. Sidetracked by, maybe some of those individuals are sidetracked by their pride or their unbelief. But I want to encourage you today, you don't have to be sidetracked by the things that have encroached in your life on the journey that God's got you on. God has a season of hope for you. God has a season of hope for our church. But what he requires from us is our agreement and our action. I'm going to unpack that a little bit more as we go, but our agreement and our action. I've got some passages of scriptures here that I just want to release into the service this morning, and it'll make more sense as we go through. Romans 15, verse 13. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace as you trust in him. Then you will have more and more hope, and it will flow out of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember those two things, agreement and action. Agreement and action. One more time. Agreement and action. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace as you trust in him. Agreement and action. As you trust in him. Not as you're sidetracked by those other things, not as you begin to put hope and dependency onto other things, as you trust in him, then you will have more and more hope, and it will flow out of you through the power of the Holy Spirit. The encouragement for all of us, we trust in him, we'll have joy and peace, hope and more hope. Yes, it's meant to flow out of us. Hope is meant to flow out of us to the people around us, those closest to us and those in our life. Ephesians 4, verse 3 to 4. You are joined together with peace through the Spirit. Do all you can to continue as you are, letting peace hold you together. There is one body, one spirit, and God chose you to have one hope. Action and agreement. You ready? You've been chosen by God to have one hope, that is Jesus. Do all you can to continue in your faith. Do all you can. Action and agreement. Do all you can. Do all you can to continue as you are. Don't get sidetracked. Don't feel like you have to put hope into someone else. Do all you can to continue in your faith. It's Jesus who's peace. He's the Prince of Peace, and he holds us together. But do all you can. Agreement and action. Colossians 1:27. God decided to let his people know just how rich and glorious that truth is. The secret truth, which is for all people, it is Christ, is that Christ lives in you, his people. He is the hope for glory. He is the hope for glory. Jesus is our hope to step into heaven with our Heavenly Father. If Christ lives in you, I want to encourage you. You are his people. He is your hope. He is your promise. Isn't that good? I don't know about you, but just to being reminded of that again. This isn't some religious thing that we find ourselves in where we just sort of come to church on a Sunday and then wait 6 days and then this, the hope of the world. You find Jesus, you invite him into your heart. God, his spirit resides in you. It's a powerful place to live, but it requires agreement and action as well to outwork it. Hebrews 6:17 to 19. God wanted to prove that his promise was true. He wanted to prove this to those who would get what he promised. He wanted them to understand clearly that his purposes never change. So God said something would happen, and he proved what he said by adding an oath. These two things cannot change. God cannot lie when he says something, and he cannot lie when he makes an oath. What God says, he will do. What God has promised, he will follow through on. So these two things are a great help to us who have come to God for safety. They encourage us to hold on to the hope that is ours. If you ever start to doubt that, God cannot lie. When God says an oath, that's it, done. So if the promise is released through Jesus, that's it. You can be sure on it. You can hope on it. Verse 19, this hope is like an anchor for us. It is strong and sure and keeps us safe. It goes behind the curtain. Who would like that explained? Behind the curtain. The game you play as kids, right? You just like go behind the curtain and hide. What does it mean? I want to tell you what it means. It's actually really important. I was even as I was looking at this scripture, I just want to encourage each and every one of us, hold on to hope. Your hope is Jesus, your hope is in Jesus, and we need to anchor ourselves to it. Don't be deceived, don't be taken off track by other things. It keeps you connected to God. It brings you close. See, what it means when it says going behind the curtain is there's no more separation between God and those who believe in Jesus. He's not far off. He's like, I'm inviting you to come into my presence. I'm inviting you to come close to me. You don't have to go through anybody else. You don't have to go through a pastor, a priest, or some other guru. You have access to God himself personally when you receive Jesus. I don't know about you, but I find that a little bit encouraging. Now, I was looking at some other people in the Bible this week, individuals who either made questionable decisions based on wanting to choose their own way, or people who had to persevere to step into their season of hope. And I think for all of us, even those two examples can be true for all of us at different times. Times where we're like, I would prefer to do something else. I would prefer to have the easy road for a bit. I would prefer, or maybe that idea of persevering and having that deep patience and perseverance is like, God, can you just click it? I know you can click it. Imagine if that was a thing. And so the first person I want to look at today is Jonah. Called by God to minister the hope that God had for an entire nation of people. These people had rejected the very premise of God and had treated themselves as God and made idols of weird things. And Jonah's like, I ain't going there. Not going to happen. I will do anything else, Lord, except that. And his roller coaster journey ends up with him in the belly of a whale. So don't say no to God. You never know what can happen. So eventually he comes to the end of himself, and all of the sudden he remembers God when he's at the end of himself. This is what it says in Jonah 2 verse 7. My soul gave up all hope, but then I remembered the Lord. My soul gave up all hope, but then I remembered the Lord. Can I encourage you? If you feel like you're at the end of yourself, that your soul's about to give up all hope, can I encourage you? Remember the Lord. Remember his goodness. Remember his mercy. Because this is what happens when you remember the Lord. I prayed to you, and you heard my prayers in your holy temple. My encouragement for all of us is you don't have to keep living with the results of your decisions. You don't have to stay in the isolation of your decisions. You don't have to stay in the jail of your decisions. But remember the Lord. Just remember the Lord. You don't have to be contained by the shame and the guilt of your past decisions. It is possible to come to a place where you remember the Lord. In the same way that God heard Jonah's prayers, he hears your prayers. Maybe sometimes you feel like they're unanswered. They are not unanswered. He is listening. He is watching. He is waiting. Maybe you just need to just persevere a little bit longer. God wants to release you into a season of hope. He has it for you. Agreement and action. Let's talk about Abraham for a little bit. In Romans 4, we recount Abraham. He was known as the father of many nations. But before that, he was the guy with no kids for ages. He was the guy that had a kid outside of God's plan. But then with perseverance and patience, God gave him the child that he promised. Now he is known as the father of many nations. His faith, it was never weak. His faith was never weak. He was loved by God and known by God. But he had to hang in there for the season of hope. Did he make some questionable decisions along the way? Couple. Big ones. But he had faith and he hung in there for the season of hope. He became the father of many nations. Let's read the passage of Scripture, Romans 4. I think we're starting at verse 20. Is that right? I hear that voice. Amen. He never doubted that God would do what he promised. He never stopped believing. In fact, he grew stronger in his faith and just praised God. Abraham felt sure that God was able to do what he promised, that that's why he was accepted as one who was right with God. These words, "he was accepted," were not only written for Abraham, they were also written for us. God will also accept us because we believe. Let your faith grow strong. Let your hope grow strong. Let your trust grow deep. They're written for us because we believe. See, we believe in the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from death. Jesus was handed over to die for our sins, but he was raised from death to make us right with God. See, in Romans 4:20, we catch this to 25, we catch this glimpse of Abraham and our promise of hope, humanity's promise of hope. The encouragement is just because life is hard, it doesn't mean you're out of favor with God. Just because life's hard, it doesn't mean you're out of favor with God. It's a season of challenge. It's a season of trouble. But I will remember the Lord. But every season of trouble births a season of hope. Every season of challenge gives birth to a season of hope. Every season of disappointment gives birth to a season of hope. Every season of, insert your thing, gives birth to a season of hope. Every season of whatever you need it to be today, whatever you're going through, insert it there, and then with agreement and action and faith in your heart, gives birth to a season of hope. Numerous examples of God's faithfulness and character in the Bible, where they lead us to understand that he's for us and not against us. I mean, it's in the scriptures too, right? But numerous stories, numerous examples, they remind us that he loves us. He's a great deliverer of hope through Jesus. He's a great restorer of reconciling the lost to be loved and known by him. He brings seasons of hope through Jesus. Again, I encourage you today. I just want your hearts to be lifted and encouraged today. This time of year, we traditionally enter, you know, a hopeful season because we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But I want to encourage you. It's not once a year that we get to celebrate a season of hope. God wants to continually bring you into seasons of hope. And my heart for you today is that if you felt like that there's trouble and challenges in this last season have tried to rob you of hope, perhaps you feel like hope has been cut down inside of you, I'd be encouraged today, let hope begin to grow again. You know, Job in Job 14 verse 7 says this, "There's always hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it can grow again. It will keep sending out new branches." There's always hope. There's always hope. You may feel like you've been cut down. Can I encourage you? Look to Jesus. Look to God, the author, the finisher, the perfecter, and let hope grow in your heart again. So when you're connected to Jesus, he'll always cause hope to grow. Romans 15 verse 13 says this, "So I pray that God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace as you trust in him." Action and agreement, amen. Then you have more and more hope. Question for all of us today, what are you believing for today? What agreement and action do you need to take to step into your season of hope? As I reflected this week on seasons of challenge and trouble and hope that I've been through, I was thinking back, even back to finishing year 12 at school and not knowing what I wanted to do. And it seemed like such a season of calamity. Maybe some of you have been through this as well, where you didn't have a pathway planned out and you just hold on to Jesus. And even as I did that, he opened a door to get a full-time job. And you're in the full-time job for a couple of years, and it's like, what's next, God? I've got hope that you're going to open doors. Now, that 2 years didn't feel like a season of hope. Getting the job did, but being in a job that's like just like a retail job, the good thing about it is I know how to do irrigation now, amen. That isn't an invitation, Trent, for you to call me up to help you. I don't know anything about irrigation. But even as that came towards the end, and it felt like, you know, when you're coming towards the end of a season, you feel like, oh, I feel like I think something's about to change. But then God opened a door to be able to go and study outdoor education. And that led to working for the education department. There are seasons that we all go through. And sometimes we can just put our head down and keep trudging forward in them rather than lifting our heads and saying, God, what is the season of hope that you want to lead me into now? Who are the people in my life that you want to lead into a season of hope now? And so my encouragement for us is let's leave behind personal troubles and doubt and pride or things that have sidetracked us for the last while and ask ourselves a question, what agreement and action do I need to take personally? And also ask ourselves, what agreement and action do I need to take to invite someone into their season of hope? It's not just enough to do it for me because I've got the hope of glory in my heart. I know that I'm good with Jesus, but what about the friends and family that don't know him yet? See, Jesus is our gateway to hope, amen? Jesus is our gateway to hope. You can try and put your hope into other things, into other people, into other dependencies, but only Jesus will give you hope and not rob you of it. There's 100 other ways I could have said that today, but only Jesus will give you hope and not rob you of it. What I'm saying is there are other things, other people, other things that you could get involved in that will you put all your hope in it, but really all they do is they take your hope and never deposit anything back. Doesn't mean they're bad things, but they deplete. Jesus is the giver, amen? And the encouragement for us, even at this time of the year, Jesus is the ultimate example of someone who went through a season of trouble and then a season of giving birth to a season of hope. Not a season of hope for himself, but a season of hope for everybody. We celebrate his birth at this time of the year, but we also celebrate the fact that in being born, it's because of everything that he's done for us. When he went to the cross, when he died for the forgiveness of sins of the entire world, in going through the trouble, he took on our sins and gave birth to a season of hope for all humanity. Amen. And so today, for everyone who's in the room, for everyone who's watching online now or at a later time, I just want to encourage you, if you don't know the author of hope, let me invite you today into a relationship with God who will give you a lifelong season of hope, into a personal relationship with God, to be known by God, to be loved by God, to be restored by God, to be forgiven of your sin, and launched into hope, amen. Now, if that's you and you don't know Jesus personally, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or stand up or do anything else, but what I want to do is give you the opportunity to accept Jesus, to be forgiven, to be loved and known, to no longer carry guilt and shame and troubles, but to be launched into a lifelong season of hope. Can we just close our eyes for a moment? I just want to invite you to pray a prayer after me. If that's you, it's like, yeah, I want Jesus. I want to know him personally. If you're watching online, pray this prayer after me as well. Church, can you join us as we pray? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, the hope of the world. I come to you today and I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that you're Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I surrender my life to you. From this day on, I choose to follow Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the greatest decisions you can ever make is acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord of your life and following him. It releases peace into your life. It releases trust into your life. It releases hope into your life. If you made a decision to follow Jesus today, I would love to have a chat to you afterwards. If you don't feel like you can have a chat to me, can I invite you to chat to someone who you came with? Just don't leave it there. If you're watching online, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. Information about how to follow Jesus, but also how to get into contact with us. If you don't live locally, we'd love to connect you with a church that can encourage you on that journey.